So Proverbs chapter 1 verses 20 through 33. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So far, the words of God. One of the things that we see in the opening chapters of Proverbs is how good God has been to us in making the truth about himself plain in the creation, and also how good God has been to us who know him and who have the scriptures in giving us his very words. The wicked friends that he's warning against, or that he has just finished warning against, and before the portion that we have this month, beginning in verse 20, they are doing everything in secret. They want to make you feel special by being off with them in secret. There's this desire for your life to be about you and to go off in secret. The problem is there's no such thing really as in secret, because God is everywhere and he sees everything, and our life is about him. And so it's important to see him everywhere and to know that we're always before his face, and to not be enticed by trying to be in secret away from him. The Lord Jesus liked to be in secret with his Father, steal away by himself. We, in our desire to be alone sometimes and have that that solitude that we crave, it should be a solitude with God. And if we pay attention when we are out in the world, we will see everywhere. Look at the difference between how wisdom acts and how the wicked sinners that were warned against in verses 10 through 19 acts. Wisdom calls outside, first part of verse 20. She raises her voice in the open squares, second part of verse 20. She cries out in the chief concourses, first part of verse 21. At the openings of the gates in the city, second part of verse 21. You see the openness and publicness and availability to all. The scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 1 that God has made the truth about himself and his divine nature obvious in the things that have been made, and that every single one of us, he has made the truth about himself known to us in ourselves, that is to say, in our hearts. So those who are rejecting the Lord, rejecting to know him, rejecting to fear him, or as Romans 1 calls it, not glorifying him as God or giving him thanks, they have to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because God in his mercy has made it obvious, has made it plain. Now, we find a problem in our hearts, and that is that we very often ignore what we can plainly see about God and start living as if we exist for ourselves. And so we fail to love God first and foremost with all that we are, and we fail to love our neighbors as ourselves because we are believing the lie. The lie is the very first lie. You can be like God, says the serpent. He is the liar and the father of it. And by that lie, he committed murder. He is also the murderer and the father of those who murder. But the you can be like God lie is the one that we are falling into when we don't see the truth about God being our maker and our purpose and our pleasure in all of his creation. So he gives not only his world, which testifies to us about himself, which tells us about himself, but God also gives us his word. So he says, turn at my rebuke, I will pour out my spirit on you, I will make my words known to you. And there's counsel, verse 25, rebuke, verse 25. And so, because we are not responding rightly to God, and because he wants to give himself to us even more plainly and more completely, he gives us not only his world, but his word. And we should turn aside to him and spend time with him. Now, if we don't see how God, who God is and how he has set up his world and the creation, and if we don't see even more plainly what he says about himself and what he says about us and what we should be doing, if we don't in his word, so if we don't give our attention to his world and especially to his word, then we will suffer. We will bring calamity upon ourselves. But when the calamity or the terror, verse 26, calamity and terror, verse 27, terror, destruction, distress, when these things come upon us, we will have only ourselves to blame. And we should not expect, if we have been ignoring God in ordinary life, and if we have been ignoring his word in the ordinary day to day, that we will suddenly be able to come to him and suddenly have the fear of the Lord and suddenly have hearts that care what he says when we have our trouble. And so we must learn from this part of Proverbs chapter 1 that the ordinary way is to walk with God step by step in the ordinary doings of life, thinking about him in his world. Taking those times, like we are taking right now, stepping apart from our schooling. You know, are we supposed to think about God in our schooling? Of course. You're to do everything unto his glory. Receive it as an assignment from him. Trust him that he is going to be the one who makes it fruitful so that you don't become discouraged or frustrated. Of course you think about God when you're doing your school or when you're doing your chores, when you're serving your mom or your neighbor or your nearest neighbors or mom and one another. Praise God for this little society that he has given us in our family. Of course, you're supposed to be thinking about God during those things. But he has also given us these times where we step away from those things and we meet with him in his words. That's what we're doing now. It's not just Dad saying, gather around me, children, I'll tell you from my experience what I have discovered in life. Although God has given me experience and wisdom, and that should be valuable to you. But that's not what we're doing. We're doing something infinitely more valuable. We're opening the words of God, the counsels of God, the corrections and rebukes and instructions of God. And we're remembering that we are his people. He's taken us to be his own. He is our God. He has given himself to be our own, and he's given us his words. And so we have these times, and you take, as soon as you can read, you should have your own time, just you and him, and then we take these times together as a family, and then there's one whole day a week that he has consecrated as holy to take as a time with him for those purposes. So, if you can read your daily schedule sheet, you see 6:30, wake, brush, devos. Devos is short for devotional, offering yourself unto God. Devoted is from the word for holy. Something that is devoted is set apart to God. And so that is a time that you set apart for setting apart yourself to God. Even if it's not very long, sometimes we don't have much time, we should at least take something. Read one word, one portion of scripture. Offer yourself in your heart unto God. Take that moment before you step into anything else. So it's in these ordinary times that we need to, be listening to our God, listening to His words, being reminded about who He is, being reminded about how we should live, by faith in Christ and responding to Christ by obeying the commands of Christ as well. So that when we come into, you're not going, you know, doing those things doesn't mean that you'll never have calamity or terror or destruction or distress. But what it does is it makes you come into those times as one who clings to God in Christ, one who knows that they're for your good, one who has been living in the ordinary times according to God's word, and lo and behold, His word is full of instruction for what to do when you're in distress. And so when you're in distress, the word of God and God Himself by His word is right there with you. And so the distress is in your circumstances. The calamity and the destruction are in your circumstances. But in your heart, there is God blessing to you, even the trouble, even the suffering, using it to glorify Himself and the grace, gracious work He has done in you, using it to grow you and do more gracious work in you, using it to give you opportunity to serve Him and glorify Him by what you do for Him and for others. Now, if we're not doing that in the ordinary time, then the wisdom of God will mock us in our destruction. That is this, I will laugh at your calamity, verse 26. They will call on me, I will not answer, verse 28. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, verse 28, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of Yahweh. Whoever listens to me, he says, verse 33, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So let us devote ourselves to this daily, consistent, ordinary habit of listening to our God, repenting from our sin, trusting in Him like He instructs us to do, and let us then have hope that He will be with us in all of our life, just as He is with us in this the ordinary times of life. Now, if you have not been doing well, and you do come into calamity, Scripture teaches you to call upon Him and cling to Him. There is no other help. There is no other hope. And so do not make the mistake of saying, oh, I have been neglecting God in my ordinary life, and now the distress has come. And Proverbs chapter 1 says there is no help for me. Although you have no good reason to expect the help based on what you have been doing, yet God is gracious and merciful, and there are many who, even though they had no right to hope for it from Him, He has given them faith and repentance, even in the time of trouble. Think, for example, but there have been those who in the time of distress, Hezekiah, Ahab, Manasseh, even some of the most wicked, Ahab and Manasseh, in the time of distress, God granted to them repentance. And He even responded to the repentance and blessed them. So seek God in the ordinary life. And if you should come into a time of distress or trouble in your circumstances, seek Him all the more still. You will not have been consistently good, but He will have been consistently good and consistently gracious. And one of the great helps of the ordinary walking with Him is that you will know Him to be consistently good and gracious. And when you come into the trouble and realize that you don't deserve any better, you will know what He is like from your experience with Him. and will more freely reach out to him. But if you haven't, reach out to him nonetheless, because there is no other help or hope. Well, let's ask him to give us this ordinary, regular, habitual walking with him in his world and in his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of Proverbs 1. We thank you for the new month and the new selections in Proverbs that we're going to be having. We thank you that even in our considering these verses together, you are giving unto us what you are telling us to do in those verses. To pay attention to you and the wisdom that you give in your world, and to pay attention to you and the wisdom that you give in your word. We pray that your spirit would make us mindful of you and to know you and your goodness. We bless your name that you do this for all people, and the difference between how openly wisdom calls and how secretly and seductively wickedness here calls, or later on in the book, The Loose Woman. Help us, Lord, to live openly before you, to know that we are always before your face, to know that you are always displaying and teaching something about yourself. But we bless your name all the more than for your word, which principally teaches us what we are to believe concerning you and what duty you require of us. And so we pray that in these family worship times and private worship times, and the public worship and all day long on the Lord's Day, that you would give us to have fellowship with you in your word and to hear you and to listen to you. Grant to us this ordinary walking with you, we pray. And then when we come into the time of trouble, we pray that you would stir up our faith all the more in that moment to reach out to you and to know that you who have given yourself to us and walked with us in the more ordinary times of life will surely have fellowship with us and walk with us and instruct us in the times of great upheaval. We ask these things in your name. Amen.